As the children are heading down, let me just start with how an elderly woman went on vacation to see some family. So her daughter watched over the place. Daughter watched over the place while she was gone. One day the daughter decided, I'm going to take a nap in mom's bed. So she went back in the bed and slept in the mom's bed. It was so uncomfortable. So she had this bright idea that while her mom's gone on vacation, she's going to get mom a new bed. Oh, the joy that her mom's going to have when she sees this new bed, because get rid of this old, uncomfortable bed. So they're hauling out the old bed, putting in the new bed, and finally the mom got home, and the mom went in, and the daughter couldn't wait to see her face, and the mom just screamed when she saw that her mattress wasn't there. And the daughter was like, what's wrong? This is a much better mattress. And the mother said, well, the reason the old one was a little bit uncomfortable and lumpy was because I put all my life savings in that mattress. I didn't trust the banks. So I put all my life savings in there. And so they had to go out to the dump to try to find that old mattress. Well, turn with me to Matthew 13, if you will. One theme this Advent is seeking a treasure, and that treasure is Jesus. Last week we saw the Bible as a treasure map that leads us to the greatest treasure of all. It leads us to the one who can forgive us of our sins and give us eternal life. But there are many people who will not find this treasure. To the people who are living their lives for the worldly things, this treasure remains hidden from them. They can't see this treasure, even when it's right in front of them. Many people today take the message of Jesus and throw it out because the value of Jesus is hidden from them. I hope that's not you. I hope you embrace the message of Jesus. So let's look at Matthew 13, 10 through 17. It says, the disciples came to him and asked him, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. I'm going to stop right there. And the first thing I want to see here today is you can't find the treasure unless you seek it out. You can't find the treasure unless you seek it out. The theme verses for today is hidden. This shows that a great treasure is hidden from the people. Though they hear, they do not understand. And though they see, they do not perceive. There were people who saw Jesus. They physically saw Jesus, but they missed seeing him. They were face to face with Jesus and didn't really understand who Jesus was. It'd be like us coming face to face with the king of a country, or come face to face with the president of the United States and not recognize them being the king or the president. You see the person, but you don't see the power that that person holds by their appearance. Obviously, you would recognize the king or the president because of their big bodyguards and all that security that'd be around them. But Jesus left his security up in heaven. his security force personnel up in heaven. He didn't walk around with guards guarding him all the time. He didn't walk around with the smartest and brightest people in the world. If Jesus would have been guarded as closely as King Herod, people would have stopped and took notice that, okay, who is this guy who's being guarded so closely? Who's this important person? But ordinary people passed Jesus on the streets and talked with him each and every day and did not recognize him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isaiah 53:2. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Isaiah wrote these words 600 years before Jesus was even born. The first part of this verse shows a humble life the Messiah was going to live. A tender shoot coming from a dry ground. Not a well-watered ground, but a dry ground. Jesus left all his glory in heaven and became frail humanity. He went from the perfect place where he was all-powerful, the center of all praise, and he came as a helpless baby of a poor family. There was a moment that Jesus let his true colors be known. Remember when Jesus was up on the mountain and he transfigured before three of his disciples? Three of his disciples saw Jesus in his glory, but no one else saw that. No one else saw the king that he was. If Jesus would have walked around and transfigured before the people, they would have known that he was the king of all kings. But Jesus walked around in frail humanity like us. There was nothing in his appearance that attracted the crowd to him. People walked by Jesus every day, but didn't see the true treasure that Jesus was. Many people encountered Jesus but left unchanged. I want you to hear that. Many people encountered Jesus, but they left unchanged. Some people's lives were evenly dramatically touched by Jesus, but they left his presence unchanged. I want to look at three different types of people who were touched by Jesus that left his presence unchanged. People went away entertained. People went away entertained. Verse 10 says, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? A parable is an everyday story that has a hidden meaning inside it. Just hearing the story, you don't get the point that the speaker was trying to make. The speaker hides the true meaning in the story. Those who desire enough to know the truth will dig into the story and find out what the speaker is trying to say. Others in the crowd are just happy to be entertained with the story and not be preached on by the law, not be lectured to by what they should and shouldn't do. When Jesus taught the people in parables, he was doing more than just trying to pass the time. He wasn't saying, man, I got all these people around me, what should I do? Maybe I'll just tell them a story, keep them entertained. No, not at all. Jesus told stories that had deep spiritual meaning behind them. But too often people didn't see the spiritual meaning behind them. They left and said, what a great, eloquent speaker Jesus is. He is very eloquent. He's a great speaker. They left his presence entertained, but did not grasp the message that Jesus had for them. Jesus' disciples were wondering why Jesus didn't come right out and give them meaning to the people. Well, something I learned in seminary was that if someone would tell me a fact, I would probably forget that fact in a few days, especially in a couple years. You come and ask me that fact, I'd forget it. But you know what? If I had to research it, if I had to dig in and search it out and read books about it and do all this stuff about it and spend 3 months writing a paper on it, you come back to me in a couple years, I probably remember the main point of that, seeking it out. So there's something about seeking it out, investigating it. There's a good chance I won't forget it. I have invested myself in the process of learning. It takes root inside of me. Parables are the same way. They make you invest yourself in them. You spend time and energy searching out, what is Jesus trying to say in these parables? What's the meaning? And as a result, when you recognize what Jesus is saying, it sticks with you better. Unfortunately, people don't even seek out the message of Jesus. They hear the parable, but they don't even seek it out. I'm pretty sure that there might be people sitting here today that do not read their Bibles throughout the week. You come in once a week and you listen to me interpret it to you. You come and you hear me tell you the meaning, but it doesn't take root in you because it is just a fact that I pass on to you. You'll forget this pretty quick. Others of you are digging into the Word of God throughout the week and you listen to me. It becomes a part of you because you have been investigating the Word all week long. Those who seek God's answers will be filled. That's what we get in Matthew 5:6. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst in righteousness, for they will be filled." People who sought out the truth, the true meaning of the parables, were spiritually blessed from Jesus' teachings. The others went home unchanged, entertained but unchanged. Same way today. Don't go home from church entertained or feel like you fulfilled some obligation to God. Rather, go home blessed by God's Word because it's rooted in you. The world hides the great treasure, but God's Word reveals the treasure to us. Well, the second thing of people went away full. People went away full. People also came to Jesus because they saw him as a free meal. After Jesus fed the 5,000, many people started to follow him around. They were not interested in hearing what Jesus had to say. They were interested in getting another free meal from Jesus. John 6:26 says this, "Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill.'" People got caught up in the wrong things. They saw how Jesus could help them in their physical longings or their worldly hunger, and they missed out on the greatest gift of Jesus was trying to give them. Jesus was trying to give them what they really needed, some spiritual food, but they were satisfied with the physical food. John 6:51. Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." So here, I imagine Jesus was a little frustrated at the people. The people were settling for physical bread. And Jesus says, "I got some bread here that I want to give you. It's spiritual bread. It's me. It's my body." And people missed it because they weren't open to it. Many of us are so caught up in what God has blessed us with in this world that we miss the true blessing that he came down to give us. Jesus did not leave heaven and come to earth and die upon the cross to give us just earthly possessions. He could have done that from heaven. He came into our world to provide a way for us to have eternal life. This Christmas, be thankful for the abundance of food and the possessions that you do have, but don't miss the true meaning of why Jesus came. There was a spiritual meaning. It was for your souls. It was for your eternity. So, he did not come to give us a full stomach or a house full of possessions. He came so we could be fully justified before God. A third type of people went away healed. People went away healed. Many people came to Jesus for healing, but not all went away with spiritually were touched by Jesus. They received a physical healing, but neglected the spiritual healing that they needed as well. In Luke 17, we read about a story of 10 lepers. All 10 lepers stood before Jesus and asked to be healed, cried out to be healed. And on the way to the chief priests, they were all healed. But only one came back and stood before Jesus. Jesus tells the one who came back in Luke 17:19. He says, "Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" I want you to see all 10 received physical healing of their leprosy. But only one came back and was truly made spiritually whole in Jesus. It was when he came back and Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." I think we are often like the 9 lepers that are in this passage. We so desperately need an encounter with Jesus, and we cry out to him. He comes and does a mighty work in our life. It impacts our lives greatly, but it doesn't impact our spiritual life. We say, "Thank you, God, for this healing. We thank you for this extra money that we've got. We've been blessed physically, but our spiritual life is like it always has been before." There are times in our lives where we are desperate for God. And when God comes through for us, when we're desperate for him, then that desperation turns into apathy. Now that God has answered us, we are not near as desperate for him as we were yesterday. But we need to see that we never get to the point that we are not desperate for God. We are always desperate for God. We're always in need of God. I need his spiritual healing just as much as I did 20 years ago, 10 years ago. I'm thankful for Jesus' birth now as much as I am when I heard it the first time. Jesus came to redeem humanity by becoming human himself. He came down to our world to bring a spiritual healing to our souls. So rejoice in the physical things that we have. That's great. But don't let them overshadow the spiritual things that God has given us. So are you desperate for God today? I hope you're not just seeking him because you want a healing or just a physical blessing. Many people miss Jesus because they are too concerned with their worldly lives. Too often we seek Jesus only for something he can do for us. Heal us, feed us, give us. It is only if we have God's Spirit inside of us that we see our desperate need for his presence each and every day. Only then will we truly appreciate the cost Jesus made by coming into our world as a little baby and then dying upon the cross. Worldly man cannot understand the spiritual. They can only understand the physical. Well, let me move on to the second thing here today. The second thing is the cost for missing this treasure. There's a cost for missing this treasure. We know that people miss this treasure that God gave the world. In Luke 19, we read about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. People were shouting out praise. They recognized him as king. But the interesting thing about this passage, after this huge celebration, this praise gathering of people recognizing Jesus as king, at the end, Jesus is weeping. Not a tear in his eye, but Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem. And so why is he weeping? Why is he crying? This should be the best moment of his life. They have proclaimed him as king. Usually when a king is announced, it is a happy occasion. But Jesus knew what was ahead. He knew that they would reject him as king. He saw their rejection of his kingship and what would bring great judgment upon them. So in Luke 19, verse 41 to 44, Jesus says, or the Bible says, "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace.'" But listen to this line. "But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you and your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Jerusalem's rejection of Jesus is going to cost them dearly. Jerusalem will fall. People will be killed. And the temple completely destroyed. And that happened in 70 AD. Jesus was mourning for the future of the people of Jerusalem. Luke 19 starts out full of praise and ends with one of the saddest verses in the Bible. When the last sentence of this says, they will not leave one stone on another because they did not recognize the time of God's coming to them. Destruction came upon them because they did not recognize God's coming to them. They missed their king. It's the same way for us today. If we miss our king coming to us, destruction is going to come our way. We will face eternal punishment in hell. Do not miss God's coming to you. There's the treasure is there whether we see it or not. A man remembers back in high school when he worked for an armored car company in California. One day he got a call from the bank saying they needed coins desperately. The bank needed coins. There was no armored truck there, so they had to improvise. And him and his buddy put $25,000 worth of coins in the back of his pickup truck. And it just sagged way down to the ground. But they took the pickup truck and they went to the bank. And the buddy says, okay, I'll go in and get the dolly. You stay out here with the money. And he said he was out there for about 15 minutes watching over this truck, and he's saying, if people would only understand, I don't have a gun or anything to guard this $25,000. If they understood what was in this truck, I would be in trouble. But they didn't understand what was in that truck because it came in an uncommon delivery system. Isn't that a great picture of Jesus' first coming? People didn't see the king that he was because of the common way in which he came. If Jesus would have been born in a palace, ruled the people with a powerful hand, and displayed earthly power over his enemies, he would have been recognized as the king that he was. But his common entrance into the world and his humble lifestyle kept the secret of the kingdom of God to those who would seek it out. This treasure map points us to the hidden treasure. Are you desperate enough for that treasure that you will put forth an effort to seek out and dig into God's Word and seek out the greatest treasure there ever was and is? Verse 11 and 12, he replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. It is the desire of God for us to understand the mysterious ways of God. He wants us to understand the victory that we have over our circumstances. He wants us to know the victory that we have over our circumstances. He wants us to understand the power we have over our enemies. He wants us to understand about the power of kingdom living. He wants us to understand the abundance of knowledge. He wants us to live in the light of that knowledge. And if you listen and you receive the knowledge, and if you listen, let me say, and if you listen, you will receive that knowledge. However, he promises those who sit in church every Sunday and their mind wanders, they lose what little they understand. He promised those who sit in church every Sunday and their mind wanders will lose what little understanding they have received. He says they will hear, but they do not really listen. They hear, but they do not really listen. When we are attending church, we should be at the edge of our seats, listening to God's truths and hear what he has to say. You know, when we watch a movie, we're at the edge of our seats. When we watch a basketball game or a football game, we're at the edge of our seats. We should be at the edge of our seats listening for what God wants to do. God allows this opportunity for us to meet together with like-minded believers so we can sharpen each other to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 14 and 15, it says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. The Pharisees were people who knew the Bible inside and out. They thought they understood what God's word said, but they were not open to the new revelation that God was bringing to them through Christ Jesus. God was doing a new thing, and they missed it. And I think God is doing a new thing, and we miss it. We don't have ears to hear what the Spirit is doing in our lives. We are talking about a hidden treasure. I keep saying it over and over, but people miss Jesus as the Messiah. They missed Him as the Messiah. The people who study the Scriptures more than anybody else missed it because they held on to their traditional views of how they thought the Messiah was going to come. God chose to come as a sacrificial lamb instead of this great military leader. And people missed it. They were expecting a powerful ruler. Jesus fooled everybody on how he chose to come. And some people never did get around to adjusting their thinking to the new revelation about Jesus coming into the world. So understand this. It was there in Scripture the whole time that the Messiah was going to come and suffer. He was going to come humbly. Isaiah 52 and 53 were in the Bible the whole time. Always there, but people didn't see it. People continue to skip over that part and continue to hold to their tried and true teaching that the Messiah was going to be a political hero. Personally, again, this is my opinion, I think the same thing is happening about Jesus' second coming. You know, God threw a curveball about His first coming. He chose to come in a different way. I think the same way with the church about His second coming. When we look for His second coming, let the biblical text guide you and not the traditions that you're a part of or prevalent thought. Make sure the Bible is your main textbook and the Holy Spirit is your main teacher. In the book of Revelation, John writes seven letters to seven churches. Those letters are the words of Jesus to the churches. In all seven letters to the churches, Jesus says the same thing, kind of wrap it up, which is in Revelation 3:22, is one of those times. It says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Isn't it interesting that Jesus says this to every church? It's the same warning that we get from today's passage about the Jewish scholars. You have ears, but you are not hearing. Jesus is telling the church, make sure you are hearing my voice. Are we hearing His voice? Can we be like the Pharisees and get so stuck in our ways? We can get so stuck in our ways that the truth cannot penetrate us. We become so callous about what we think is the truth that there's no way that we'd be ever open to a new revelation that comes to our lives. I think about decades ago how people said, "I know dancing is wrong, and there's nothing you can say that will convince me otherwise." Or, "Playing cards is wrong. Going to movies is wrong. Women not wearing a covering on her head is wrong. And I'm not going to be convinced that this can be okay." You know, they have, quote, their interpretation of Scripture, but their heart has become so callous to any new truth penetrating what they hold so dear. The Pharisees were so sure of the truth, there was no budging in the Pharisees. After all, they knew the Scriptures so well. I wonder if there's any of us here today that we hold to some truth that we think is truth, and we're not letting Jesus shape us and change our view. Well, very quickly, let me give you the application for today. The application. We know the secrets of God. We know the secrets of God. We know the secrets of God because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Jesus says in our passage this morning, the knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. Jesus is not talking about some secret password or secret handshake that we got to know before we can understand the truth. But we cannot know it in our unchanged earthly minds. The secrets of the kingdom of God are given to those whose minds have been renewed by the washing of the blood of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. To understand the secrets of the kingdom of God requires spiritual insight. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned." People who are still living worldly cannot understand the principles of another world. This insight to the secrets of God are open to anyone who will humble themselves before God. But if we are not going to humble ourselves, if we're caught up in this world, we're not going to understand the insights of God. Jesus says, "Whoever has, more will be given. And those who do not have, what they have will be taken away." If we are not showing diligence in sharpening our knowledge and skill of Scripture, then our knowledge or skills for the things of God will decline over the years. It's that way with any skill that we have. I remember in college, I took Spanish. You know, I kind of knew some Spanish in high school and college, but I didn't keep up with that skill. And tell you the truth, today, the only words I can probably tell you is taco and burrito. Maybe el baño. Okay, I can't speak much of that. Same way, back in the day, I used to be pretty good at basketball, but after 30 years of not practicing, I'm not near as good as what I once was. We need to be in practice and keep our minds sharp with the Word of God so we don't lose those things. Jesus says in John 8:47, "He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Do we hear what God is saying? Many Christians are walking around not hearing God speak. They face decisions every day and they have no idea how God is leading them. But God has given us His Word and guides us into His heart and gives us the Holy Spirit to give us discernment to make godly decisions in our lives. So make sure you are hearing from God and not trying to be led by your common sense. We desperately need to hear from God. So at this time, I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward and lead us in our closing song. We're going to be singing the hymn, "What Child Is This?" And let me tell you, that's a good question. What child is this? Many people thought throughout history had many different opinions about who this child was. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Each one of us needs to answer to God on who we think He is. Hopefully we have read His Word and have been open to His Spirit to lead us to the answer to that question, that He is the Messiah, the King of Kings, God incarnate, who come down to live amongst us. Let's stand and let's sing number 281, "What Child Is This?"